Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. This week's podcast is called Fire the Entire Fed, Not Just Lisa Cook. President Donald Trump fired Fed Governor Lisa Cook on Monday due to her being charged with mortgage fraud. I say, while he is at it, he should also fire Fed Chair Jerome Powell and the rest of the merry band of money printers immediately due to gross incompetence. But Trump should not dump Powell because he is chronically too late to cut interest rates, as the president avers. Rather, he should do so because our current Fed head is the biggest counterfeiter the U.S. has ever suffered. In fact, his willingness to create a massive amount of new credit is not only unprecedented, it is downright depraved. Since his tenure began as Fed chair in February of 2018, he oversaw an increase of 104% in the size of the Fed's balance sheet, which means he created $4.6 trillion of credit out of thin air in just 4 years in order to manipulate the prices of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. He was actually still in the process of buying mortgage-backed securities up until the spring of 2022, even after home prices had already surged by more than 30% over the previous 2 years. And now, despite trend GDP growth, full employment, record tight credit spreads, extremely easy financial conditions, record high stock values, a cost of living that has wiped out the middle class, and the lowest home owner affordability on record, the Fed thinks now is a good time to start another round of money printing. Powell gave his Jackson Hole annual speech on August 22nd, where he suddenly became spooked about the weakening labor market and abruptly grew confident inflation was no longer an issue. He said, quote, "With policy in restrictive territory, the baseline outlook and the shifting balance of risks may warrant adjusting our policy stance," close quote. He also said, quote, "Risks to employment are tilted to the downside." And, quote, "Given that the labor market is not particularly tight and faces downside risks, a lasting inflation dynamic does not seem likely." Adding, "Downside risks to employment are rising, and if those risks materialize, they can do so quickly in the form of sharply higher layoffs and rising unemployment," close quote. Now, this is quite a change from the Fed's position just a few weeks before. At his last Federal Open Market Committee meeting and press conference given on July 30th, which is not that long before August 22nd, he had this to say about the strength of the labor market. Quote, "In the labor market, conditions have remained solid. The unemployment rate at 4.1% remains low and has stayed in a narrow range over the past year. Wage growth has continued to moderate while still outpacing inflation. Overall, a wide set of indicators suggest that conditions in the labor market are broadly in balance and consistent with maximum employment." That is a dramatic change of viewpoint in just a few weeks' time frame. Inflation has been above the Fed's 2% target for the past 51 months, and inflation is rising further and faster away from that inflation goal. So then, why begin another rate-cutting cycle now? Both producer prices and consumer prices have risen nearly 3% year over year. How is that providing stable prices? Now, I understand that the Bureau of Labor Statistics recently revised its non-farm payroll numbers lower, but still, even with these negative revisions, the unemployment rate is just 4.2%, which is unchanged year over year, and historically very low. So why does the labor market data suddenly supersede the data on stubbornly high and rising rates of inflation? Nevertheless, the Fed seems determined to begin cutting borrowing costs for the overnight bank lending rate come September 17th. The administration wants rates to plunge by 150 to 175 basis points rather soon. Hence, the status of our crumbling dollar will be exacerbated. However, borrowing costs are rising around the world, despite the efforts of central banks to lower short-term rates. This is happening in the context of sovereign nations that have been saddled with a massive increase in outstanding debt since the outbreak of the COVID pandemic in 2022. Longer duration debt is under pressure globally and amid growing concern over widening fiscal deficits, with German 30-year yields rising to a 14-year high last week. Japan's 20-year bond is now yielding 2.67%, which has risen to the highest level in 25 years. This is after trading between zero in 2016 through 2020, traded near zero between that range. And Japan's 30-year government bond yields climbed to a fresh record high of 3.23%, as concerns over sticky inflation and rising debt caused traders to demand higher rates. This is terrible news for a nation that has a debt-to-GDP ratio of 260%. In addition, the yield on the UK 30-year bond recently jumped above 5.6%, which is the highest level since 1998. Inflation and insolvency are causing yields to spike, and that will be the catalyst for the next financial crisis. That crisis will be met with what I believe to be total central bank control over the bond market on both the short and long end. Yield curve control occurs when central banks vow to print an unlimited amount of money to purchase long-term bonds for the purpose of capping those yields. Powell's speech sent interest rates on the short end of the yield curve plunging. However, and this is crucial, rates on the long end barely budged. They did not decline commensurately with T-bills and shorter duration notes. This is the same thing that happened when the Fed began cutting rates by 100 basis points last fall, and the 10-year note rose by 1%. Powell began cutting rates in September of 2024 when the headline CPI was 2.4% year over year. The latest CPI reading in July was up 2.7% year over year. This should give traders even more confidence that long-term interest rates will rise rather than fall when the Fed cuts the Fed funds rate in a few weeks' time. What else? I mean, let's be honest. What else would you expect to occur when a central bank floods the money markets with more credit, even though inflation remains elevated, economic growth is not yet contracting, and the nation is flirting with insolvency? If Powell lowers the Fed's funds rate and benchmark lending rate rises nonetheless, mortgage rates and corporate borrowing costs will soar, and that will torpedo the real estate and equity bubbles on which our overleveraged economy is precariously perched. By the way, Powell should not be excessively pilloried for getting interest rates consistently wrong. Sure, he does have an extraordinary proclivity to wreck the dollar, which is only matched by his hubris in thinking he knows what R star is or what the neutral real interest rate is at all times. After all, there is no cabal of autocrats that can calculate what the real cost of money should be. That rate should only be determined by millions of individuals making lending decisions and borrowing decisions based on the supply of savings versus the demand for borrowed funds. The growth rate in the base money supply should be fettered by tying it to the new mine supply of gold, or alternatively, cap it to trend growth of GDP, which is labor force plus productivity growth, which is around 2%. And then make sure the banking system doesn't run amok lending base money using the fractional reserve system. This can be done by imposing tight limits on the ratio between a bank's assets and the base money supply. Doing this would eliminate inflationary bubbles and will allow the Fed to be thrown into the trash bin of history where it belongs. Until that comes to fruition, we will be forced to undergo cycles where there is a plenary collapse of the financial system. The potential energy behind the biggest collapse in U.S. history is already in place. Now, in the portfolio, we remain 23% net long now in the IDEC inflation deflation economic cycle portfolio with a mix of U.S. and international equities. We've got India, we've got Australia, and we've just recently purchased, very recently, to show up tomorrow, some Mexican shares. Of course, we own the platinum, we own the gold, we've got a big supply of short-term treasuries, we've got that aerospace and defense in there too, it's working very well. So we are participating in the bubble, but we are not fooled, and we are not lulled to sleep. We are waiting for that spike in long-term rates to derail this systemic, absolutely systemic bubble and its multitude of manifestations. Our eyes remain wide open and both hands are firmly on the wheel. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.